Are we exposed? Security teams ask this every day. Vulnerabilities across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos hide the truth, and attackers are watching. Tenable unifies your tools, teams, and data so you can spot and close risks fast. Tenable's AI-powered exposure management gives teams one view of risk, helping them focus, take action, and close critical exposures fast. Visit Tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in. It's hour one of In This League on the Sports Grid. And I've got one of my favorite guests of all time. And I started on Sports Grid being a guest of this man's show, Joe Pizzapia, at Joe Pizzapia 17 on the Twitter machine. What is going on, Joey? Hey, yo.
Hey, yo, baby. And you know what's funny about that, Boggs? When you say that, what's fun is that it does seem true. Like, every time I have you on as guest, eventually you just get hired somewhere. I think that's really nice. I think this is good. This is a very nice little thing we've established. Is I get somewhere, and then I go like, hey, you should meet Bogman. He's good people. And then I bring you in, and then I leave that place, and then you're still there, which is nice. I like this. This is a fun
that's
trend.
Right.
So
this is we'll like coming, like, I'm like the guy that graduated 2 years after you, and you come back to hang out at the high school for one day. You know what I mean?
That's, yeah, I feel like a big man. I feel like I wear my varsity jacket and I come back to the high school.
How are you? I mean, your Mets got a late start in baseball here, you know, because of the Nationals and all the COVID. And then as soon as they started, they did traditional Mets things. Jacob DeGrom, amazing again. And then the bullpen blew it. So it feels like it's baseball season, baby. We're here for it.
Yeah, it does. What's more Mets than the blowing a Jacob DeGrom start? 31 times, by the way, they've blown a win for him. I just want to throw it
I heard
the
Darling
last
saying
years.
That on the broadcast.
Yeah, and I heard it
what
too.
Does he have, 87 total wins? Something
it's,
like that?
It's absurd. It's absurd that they've blown so many wins for Jacob DeGrom. And you know what? Watching him pitch on the Mets opener when it finally did open, the easy 100, I've never seen a guy throw 100 that easy. It's just, it looks like it's coming so easy out of his hands. And I made a funny comment, which is, you know, DeGrom's the best pitcher in baseball, and he was a converted shortstop, right? Mike Trout is the best player, or arguably that, in baseball, and he played three sports, right, in high school, right? He played football, he played basketball, and he played baseball, because his parents basically gave the middle finger to everybody else and said, no, Mike wants to play what Mike wants to play. And these are the guys that are out there getting it done, and everybody else in their hyper-focus, hyper-specialization, everybody's getting hurt. I mean, we are, what, like 8 days into the season, and we've had already enormous injuries, and I don't
we're
get
gonna
it.
Go
like,
through it. We're going to go through it. We got to hit a break here to start. Oh,
so
yes,
bad.
I get it. We got to hit a break here to start, but when we come back, we are going to lament the injuries and talk more about the Mets. So stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, Buckaroo.
All night.
Welcome back, everybody, In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. No Welsh today. He is out, so I've got three different guests for you. I've got, first of all, our friendo, at Joe Pizzapia 17 on the Twitter machine. My friend, Joe Pizzapia. We're going to have John Lobb after him, and then hour three is going to be normal with our friendo, Casey Bubba. We're going to talk some football here, Joe, but let's get through the baseball stuff first, because the season did just start. I know football is king and everybody wants to hear about it and all that good stuff, but let's talk some baseball first. The Mets, you know, blow the game first. Why do you keep doing this to me?
Did you have me on just to crap on the Mets for, like, I'm already a Met fan. I'm already miserable.
Joe,
like, why do you got to do
Joe,
this?
Uh-huh. Joe, yeah, you could be a Diamondbacks fan. So it could be much worse. Have you watched Madison Bumgarner pitch this year?
Did you see Ketel Marte's hamstring pop off? I did see that live.
Yeah, exactly. So don't give me it. Let me give you crap. Your Mets are still going to be in it. They're one of the favorites to win the World Series this year.
But your team is good. But what's worse? Is it worse to have hope and then get crushed, or to have no hope and be realistic?
I don't know. Honestly, because I've seen the Steelers lose so many AFC championship games, it's not even funny. Most of them to your stupid team, the Patriots. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that it's a horrid feeling. You know what I mean? But at least I have some joy throughout the season. You know, they try to tell you it's the journey, not the finish line. I think life is like that. Not really sports. You know, sports is more about the finishing line. You know, let's get there and win the whole thing, Tom Brady. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man. It's not having hope April 1st is rough, you know, and because even in the Diamondbacks division, you know, it's the Dodgers and the Padres are number one and number three as far as win totals going into the season. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're going to get past them. But what do you love about fantasy baseball so far this year? And what do you hate about fantasy baseball so far this year? It's got to be injuries, right?
Well, I mean, hate the injuries. I hate the injuries because my simple brain can't wrap my mind around the fact that we have all of these better measurables and metrics, all these better approaches, you know, all of the off-season training and all of these regimens these guys do. All these guys do is eat grilled chicken and play video games. And nobody goes out and carouses anymore. Nobody's doing cocaine. Nobody's smoking in the dugout. But you know what's funny? All those guys in the 60s and 70s and 80s that went out drinking after the games and came to the next day hungover, and they all seem to play 162 games. I don't know how this happened, but it's kind of stunning. And then they all, you know, in the offseason, they worked at Ace Hardware. And then they got in shape sometime in February. And then they went and played baseball for a few months. I'm kind of only half joking, because I feel like what's going on now, it's not good for the game. I mean, we are eight, like I said, it's the eighth already. And Tatis is hurt. Ketel Marte is hurt. Gallen's hurt. I mean, we're starting all these guys, you know, there's already a side issue. They don't want to say the word oblique with Aaron Judge, but God knows what that is. I mean, it is just crazy to me that nobody can stay healthy, and we're not even we're just days into the season. So that's very frustrating. Now, what I love,
it's always funny that you mentioned the guys that have the bodybuilder type of bodies. Those are the first guys hurt because they look like they're chiseled out of stone. So, you know, if they fall down, they break just like the stone. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
So what
that
you're saying is that we're more durable body types, is what you're
well,
saying.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, then I would play 162. Yeah, every single year. I mean, come on. Call me Iron Man. You know
Could
what
you
I
imagine
mean?
Imagine Cal Ripken. I want to get Cal. Can we get Cal on the show? I want to get Cal Ripken's take on these guys getting hurt every 5 seconds. And so-and-so tweaked this and did that. I mean, Cal Ripken must just sit back and laugh at these guys and just be
It's annoying so far, but the Dodgers have been, and they keep you know, I feel like they're ghost injuries, but they keep saying, oh, you know, Mookie Betts missed a game with a back injury. You know, Cody Bellinger has something with his knee going on. You know what I mean? Like, they are resting their stars already. Number one, because they can afford to, because they're the backups. I mean, McKinstry is coming in here and been a guy as far as fantasy goes, McKinstry was some
sort of like, was he like a Christian rock band or a death metal band? I was like, McKinstry is opening. I never even heard of this guy. I was like, who is this guy? Where did he come from? I didn't know.
McKinstry opening up for Creed. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, with arms wide open.
With arms wide open. Mookie Betts sits for me.
The lineup card.
I know, and it's recency bias, right? Our buddy Paul Spohr mentions this all the time. You know, it's no guys are not more hurt this year than they have been in previous years. This is recency bias. It's because we've been waiting so long for the season to start in 2 years for April baseball, right? So, you know, we're all excited. We're all ready to go. And it's 100% recency bias because these guys were getting hurt before as well. But it's just super frustrating to start the season. But outside of that, outside of the injury stuff, what who do you like so far? Who do you hate so far? I mean, sure. We're only a week in. Has your opinion vastly changed on any player so far?
I don't know about vastly. I do believe in, like, everyone take a deep breath. It's April. So far, like, the guys that have really impressed me, and I've made investments in them because I thought, you know, they were very good investments, is Corbin Burnes. That guy looks phenomenal. And then people are like, well, he's probably not the real deal. It was a short sample. It's like, I don't know, man. I watched him. He looks like the real deal to me. That guy throws gas. Him and Woodruff and the Brewers specifically, like, they got to figure things out there a little bit, I think, on offense. But I think that is a serious challenger to the Cardinals for that division. I really do. And I like the over when it comes to them. And I like them to win the division. I still think they, you know, Jack Flaherty's inconsistent, and he showed that already to open the season. I like the swagger of the Reds just overall. You know, the Reds have some guys that want to actually hit you, and I like that. Like Moustakas and Castellanos and Amir Garrett. Like, those guys are like, they're actually more of a throwback. They're like a team from like the late 80s, I feel like. It's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to score on you, and then I'm going to pump my fist, and I'm going to, like, you know, flex over you at home plate. And you know what? It's entertaining. That was the most live thing that's happened so far. And where is that? Like, that intensity is great when you see it. And I want to see more bat flipping and fun. You know, I grew up with the 86 Mets that used to do curtain calls in other people's ballparks, for God's sakes. Think about how obnoxious that is. That is like peak obnoxiousness, right? And now everybody's so careful not to offend everybody. We're so like, man, if you don't like the guy, don't give a home run if you don't want him, like, you know, dancing on your grave. If you don't like this guy, like, just handle your business. And I hate the fake posture fighting. If you're going to fight, you fight. And if you're not, then get out of the way and don't posture about it. That bothers me. And that's a baseball thing.
You know, instead of the benches clearing and all that stuff, and I know that's a traditional thing with baseball, and it's, you know, sometimes you get in a fight with a team just to fire up the rest of your guys. You know what I mean? Like, a team leader will go out there and get in someone's face just to get everybody up off the bench. And I understand that. But I almost feel like if it's a pitcher hitter thing, why don't we just start doing what hockey does? Let him go at it.
I love that idea.
First guy that drops, all right, the fight's over. There's more than enough people there to break it up, just like there is in hockey, you know, so no one's going to get, you know, killed or anything. So just let them put up their dukes, you know what I mean? And go at it for a little bit, and then it's over with. So I understand that. You know, a lot of it, you know, it's just like when a manager gets tossed. It's a long year, and there's a lot of attrition and all that stuff. But sometimes it's just doing it to fire everybody up. But sometimes you have legitimate beef. You know, Castellanos tired of getting hit. Otani got hit the other day and was staring down the pitcher. And if you're going to be Mr. Tough Guy pitcher, you know, it's almost like sitting behind a keyboard and being a tough guy. If you're going to be Mr. Tough Guy pitcher, and you want to drill someone with 98, you better be ready to you know, face the consequences when they come after you.
Well, look, there's been some good things, too, in baseball so far. I mean, like I said, there's been some really good. It's nice to see Jose Berríos kind of looking like he might be taking a step.
Trey Mancini. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's some guys out there that you want. Like, okay, I want to see some good things happen. Like, Jose Berríos taking a step forward would be huge for the Twins. That if he becomes a true ace, not like a 1A, that would be a huge thing. Look, you know, it's going to take a little while for things to kind of settle out a little bit right now. But I think, you know, to your point, I think it's going to be real easy to troll the Pirates, troll the Diamondbacks, troll some of those teams, whether it be wagering, whether it be DFS, whether it be fantasy with matchups and stuff like that, because you could see the teams that are the haves and have nots already.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking some football with Joey P. I know it's early, but we got to get to it. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this in this league on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour one, of In This League on the Sports Grid. I'm so used to having a guest and saying hour three, Joe. That's what it is. Me and Bubba always do that. I'm also usually only the host during hour three, the Welsh off this week and last week. So my hosting skills are, getting the runaround here is exactly what's happening. But I promised you guys some football, and we're going to do it right now. Obviously, the draft is going to be coming up. Joe doing a bunch of draft stuff over at Fantasy Pros. And Joe, tell everybody about your new gig and what you're doing over there and all the shows that you're running.
All of the shows, so many shows. Yeah, look, it's great. Dan Harris and I every morning are doing a live stream show that you can also watch on YouTube called Leading Off. So it's basically like recapping the night before in baseball, talking about the latest things going on in fantasy, but also then we get into DFS every morning, which is awesome. So we talk a lot of FanDuel on there. And then on top of which, we just had our mock draft for the NFL 4.0 with John McKechnie from RotoWire and Trevor Sycamo from the Draft Network and myself and Kyle Yates. So that's going to drop probably later this week, and some really great stuff there. And obviously all the football and baseball things are, football never stops. And that's going to be a huge thing. We're doing a live stream of the NFL draft too, which is going to be super fun. So Tags and myself and Yates will be doing that, which should be awesome.
Now you and I are, we got a team together in a 30-man IDP league, and
we do,
we just got an offer for Christian McCaffrey, but let's talk about this year's Christian McCaffrey. Mm. And, last year, obviously banged up. Mike Davis came in. We drafted, I know the Welsh and I in flex drafted CMC one. We wound up getting Mike Davis, of course. So actually we didn't take CMC because flex is a super flex. We took Lamar first. So, but anyway, CMC, is he still the number one option to you in a PPR league? It doesn't matter if it's PPR or half or whatever. Or after this injury history, are you, maybe taking a step back with him? Maybe he's closer to three or four.
I'm going to take one more shot in the redraft with him. And the reason is because I loved what I saw with Joe Brady last year calling plays. And it's going to be fascinating to see now that Sam Darnold's there, what that team's like, because look how good they were with Teddy Bridgewater. And I think Sam Darnold can be equal, if not more than that, potentially. I love to see what they do with the draft also. I like to see what sort of offensive linemen maybe they draft. But I think that right now, Dalvin Cook is an injury risk. I mean, how many times have we seen Dalvin Cook on the shelf? Saquon Barkley, clearly. So it's almost like, why not him? Because otherwise, it's just super safe Derrick Henry, which I'm still okay with. Like, if you're at one overall and you just say to yourself, even at PPR, I don't want the headache, take Derrick Henry. Okay, I've watched the workout videos. Derrick Henry is not slowing down. I'm telling you right now, the dude is just, he's in a different planet. He is special. And we've been saying this for years. And if you want to go super safe, I think you could also go Adams, number one, too, which is not a stupid way. And then just double up on running back on the way back. You could certainly make that work, especially with the ADP right now. But I think right now, I think you take that shot one more time with McCaffrey. And if it fails, then it fails. And I think it's more, the third overall pick where you really have to have this conversation with yourself about who's left there. And I think I still take Henry.
Yeah. And it's, look, Christian McCaffrey is still one of the, he's just, his upside is just insane. A couple of years ago when he was the clear number one player, he outscored everyone by, it was like 6 or 7 points per game in a PPR league, like over 100 receptions, a ton of touchdowns. And
in RPV Boggs, he had a plus 69. So he was 69% better than the fantasy league average running back. That is a number I've never seen until Travis Kelce this year, a tight end who was 70. So it's crazy. And again, that's not over everybody at running back. That's over the top 12 guys.
Right.
2 years ago. That tells you all you need to know. And granted, there were some injuries that year and some disappointments that kind of hurt the pool. But still, dude, that is a number you can't ignore.
Yeah, the upside is still there. And I think that offense gets better with Sam Darnold under center instead of Teddy Bridgewater. I don't, you know, look, I know that they just traded a lot of capital. But if Teddy doesn't get off of this team, I still think it's going to be a competition. And I love Darnold, but I don't think that if Teddy Bridgewater is there for week one, that it's just his job and done. You know what I mean? So it's I think that's going to be a competition too, but I do think that the offense gets better with him there. And, you know, look, McCaffrey got a lot of rest last year. So coming back this year, hopefully he's going to be okay. The number two, just looking at Fantasy Pros rankings, it's where you work, of course, Saquon Barkley is still sitting at number two overall here. And I know a lot of people are taking issues with that because he's gotten the injury prone tag. Just looking at his best overall is two. And that is his average. Also, Joe, if you're not looking at it, are you looking at it right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you believe what that worst number is? Overall.
Oh, overall, that what, Saquon, somebody has him at 11? Oh, that's
22.
Wait, I thought the worst is 11. Oh, you know what? I'm looking to, are you in the full PPR? Is that where you are?
I'm in the full PPR, yeah. 22, someone has him at.
Oh my so, God, that's insane. I thought it was 11 here from what I'm, the way I'm seeing it.
Yeah, so, I thought 11 was with running backs, but overall with every position.
Oh, that, 22. Oh, my apologies. No, yeah, you're, oh, wow. That's absurd.
I mean, a second round pick, but that's kind of the stigma that Barkley, that's my point, is that there are going to be some people. I mean, that 22 is ridiculous. Whoever did that, I bet you they change it before the year starts, right? So especially if Saquon starts to look healthy, in the preseason and stuff, people are going to be like, okay, well, you know what? I'm back in. So this is going to be fine. So how low, like, even if you're mad about the injury problems that Saquon is having, you know, watching him in college, seeing what he does when he's healthy in the pros, how low can you rank him in the first round? I mean, 20, he can't drop out of the first round, in my opinion. I think the lowest you could probably put him is like 7 or 8.
I was just going to say 7 or 8 makes sense to me. Like, if you really believe in Jonathan Taylor, maybe he goes over, or Adams, if you're going to take the wide receiver. But you know, it's a fascinating question to ask yourself. And even like the startup dynasty leagues, like, how much capital do you want? Do you want to spend a second overall pick on Saquon Barkley? Like, and it's funny because, you know, Derrick Henry got knocked because he didn't carry the ball a ton in college, right? Like, he, or as much as maybe some other guys did. But, you know, when you don't have as much tread on the tires, I mean, Saquon carried the ball so much. And I think you're kind of seeing a little bit of, like, you know, maybe the body's just, you know, having some problems adjusting, but it's still too early in his career to completely give up. But I understand the fear. And that's why for me in the first round, I just don't want to screw anything up. Like, if I'm at 2 overall in a redraft where there's money, I will probably take Derrick Henry still. And that's just me. Like, I will take Derrick Henry at 3. I'll take Derrick Henry at 4, 5, wherever you give me Derrick Henry, I'm going to take that. If Henry and McCaffrey are off the board, that's when I have to ask myself, okay, what's Kamara going to be like with the Saints? What's Dalvin Cook's injury history? What's Saquon's injury history? And maybe Cook is a little safer at this point. I'd probably lean that way, but you know, I just don't, I understand the fear with Saquon because now it's 2 years in a row. And I think that always scares people off. But look, it's the same thing that scared people off with Dalvin Cook a couple years ago. And then look what he became. So if you're looking for the positive spin, that's the positive spin. It's the Dalvin Cook journey.
And we're getting an extra week. Don't forget, you know, so it's, you know, you thought running backs were hurt the last couple years. And I'm not convinced this is going to happen, but I'm not going to be surprised when teams start to just rest a player for a week, even a healthy player. You know, if you clinch a playoff spot, now maybe you give the backups the very next week off. You know what I mean? Instead of just that week, I guess it would be 18 at this point. So there's going to be some weird frustration going on with this extra game because, you know, people think that it's just, oh, look, we're just adding an extra week on to fantasy football.
Oh, no, it has a lot of impact. It has a big impact across the board, but most on running backs for sure.
Yeah.
And you're going to see a lot more of these committees that are going to be fairly frustrating, which is why you still probably want to lean. If you can get that bell cow number one lockdown guy, there's only a handful of them, really. And I think that the rest of the time, and that's why I think it's okay to make early investments in wide receiver or Travis Kelce, because, or even the elite quarterbacks earlier than you used to, because running back is starting to get more and more devalued as a position. So it's just something to really consider. And the way the teams are kind of structuring just the organizations around, you know, saying, okay, well, we're going to invest here and invest there, but running back is something we could just kind of churn.
How many, you mentioned taking wide receivers a couple times. I feel like that's going to be your thing this year, is maybe taking a wide receiver in the first. How many wide receivers need to go in the first? Right now, we've got it set at, as far as just looking at Fantasy Pros, and I just do PPR. I think most people play PPR now. Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, DeAndre Hopkins. Those are the four that are ranked in the first round right now. Are we missing anyone from that? Are any of these guys too high?
No, you know, look, Adams definitely is a one. You know how much I love Hopkins. Diggs' productivity is undeniable, and Tyreek Hill is that home run hitter guy. Like, those four guys are good. I'm good with all those guys as ones. After that second tier of, you know, Metcalf and Thomas and Ridley, you know, I like Ridley probably the most of that grouping. But I think he's an early second round pick, Ridley. I don't think he's a first round guy yet. But I stress yet. However, you know, look, man, you know, you're in a spot here where this is exactly the point, which is look at the depth of wide receiver. Last year's wide receiver class was so good. This year's incoming class with Smith and Waddle and Jamar Chase and a few other guys too. And Bateman could be really good, where maybe, you know, we're going to get like an almost 2.0 version. You can afford to find wide receivers later if you do go running back early, and that's perfectly fine to do to get that solidified guy. But you also run that risk of the injury quotient being much higher for that player than, say, a Calvin Ridley or a Stephon Diggs or somebody like that.
I mean, they're football players. They all get hurt, of course, every single year. You know what I mean? So it's not like anyone is foolproof here, but I'm absolutely with you. I think just the depth that we have at wide receiver makes it so you need to take running backs early. Not, you know, taking Davante Adams is never a mistake, right? But
no,
not getting a running back could be a mistake. Mm-hmm. So we got to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more about this and maybe hit some draft talk as well. So stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old
In This League.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody, In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. We're also on the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. What up, San Diego? What's going on, everybody? You don't have a football team anymore, but the Padres are awesome. And, you know, you're going to destroy my Diamondbacks all year long. You know, we're doing this. The best part about when Joe could record with me is that it was right when the Diamondbacks game started today as we're recording this, so I don't have to watch it. And they're already down. It's on my TV still, and they're already down 3-0. So going to be a long baseball year for me. That's why we're talking some football here on the Sports Grid.
I love it, man. I'm happy about this. You said, come on, talk football. I said, sure. That sounds like a great idea.
You mentioned, you know, look, wide receiver is super deep this year, and the rookie class is going to be great. So I don't think we need to talk too much more about wide receivers right now. We'll talk about the rookie class in a second because I'm really interested in your take there. But let's talk about tight ends for a second. And I feel like Kelsey's going too low. 17 overall. George Kittle's at 20. Darren Waller's at 22. The next group of tight ends is Mark Andrews at 48. Hockenson at 51. Fant at 64. So that's kind of the top three and then the next three. Obviously, Mark Andrews taking a big hit after it seemed like he was questionable for every single week last year. I don't know if that's the truth, but I had a couple of shares of Mark Andrews, and it seemed like every week it was like, well, yeah, maybe he'll play, maybe he won't.
They figured it out, Boggs. I mean, they also said, okay, we just got to stop this guy. And if you do, you slow them down. They can't throw the ball at all anywhere. And they did. I mean, that's exactly what happened, and he got way more attention. And it hurt him. So Sammy Watkins is not the answer to get the attention off of him, but let's see what happens in the draft. Maybe they draft a Bateman where they are. That's very possible. They should.
I mean, I hope they don't. I hope they keep doing dumb stuff, but I mean, the Ravens don't really do dumb stuff, but as a Steelers fan, I hope they do some dumb stuff. So we'll see though. But I mean, Kelsey down at 17, I almost feel like it's too low. Look, I think Michael Thomas is an incredible value at 16 overall. If he's not going in the first round, you know, I know everybody wants to call him slant boy and all that stuff, like, because all he does is run slants and all of that. But I think he's going to be way better with Jameis Winston throwing him the ball instead of a broken Drew Brees or Taysom Hill. You know what I mean? So I just don't buy into Taysom Hill as a quarterback. Drew Brees, obviously it was gone last season. So I think Michael Thomas is going to get back, but you just mentioned RPV for, you know, for Travis Kelce, which, you know, the fantasy black book, I'm going to have to start writing pretty soon, you know,
you and me
because,
both, brother.
Yeah, because we got to start grinding on it because it's going to be coming out soon. But you just mentioned, you know, Travis Kelce's RPV. I think that puts him in the first round for me.
It absolutely
you know?
Does. It puts him top 10 for me.
I think
the first place where you can really justify Kelce is 10 overall. And the thought process is the other guys, in terms of relative position value, the wide receivers and the running backs, and your running backs are getting towards the guys that don't move the needle. They're just fantasy league average, which is fine. But you're also taking some risk there with some of those names. Or, and probably one of them makes it back to you in the turn when it comes back around the second round. And a lot of those wide receivers we just mentioned, they're very good, but the only way to really structure your team properly, in my opinion, is to double up on those guys. To take Ridley and DK Metcalf. To take, you know, Keenan Allen and Calvin Ridley or something like that. You want to double up, then you're really doing something with that group of wide receivers. But if you take Kelce at 10, you have basically the, you know, so many options open to you when it comes back to take the BPA. And then just filter your team that way. And you might be, look, it's something more possible in PPR to do because you can find other running backs later on that might make up a little bit of that deficit. But at the same time, I think the running back usage is going to be all over the board this year with that 17 game season. I really do.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's going to look different. That's the thing that you have to expect the unexpected this year for sure. And there's plenty of expected. The expected is
what that means, you know, that we're expecting it. So there's really it is expected. So if we're expecting the unexpected. You know, I always
I've lapsed into a riddle. I don't like it.
But this is always one of my favorite things. Like, we have to expect the unexpected, to which I was like, well, isn't that just what's
expected? I mean, cliches are dumb for a reason.
This is where I miss Welsh, because Welsh would have taken this cliche and another cliche and combined them into a new one, you know, like,
you don't look a gift horse in the face with your two birds in the bush, right? So that's what Welsh would have said.
My partner, by the way, Nathan Bush for the In This Ring, had the greatest thing ever. He said yesterday, he goes, "Gun to my head, I'd take the bullet." That's what he said the other day about this one guy. And I've never heard that expression. And I'm stealing it, and I'm going to use it everywhere. I think that is
gun
so
to
good.
My head, I take the bullet.
And of course, that with that West Virginia accent of his, "Gun to my head, I'll
gun
take
to my
the
head, Joe, I take the bullet." All right. oh man, but look, you know, your running backs, I think everyone expects your running backs to get hurt. So running back depth is a number one in a fantasy football draft. I mean, everybody knows that. So number two is getting the best players at every other position so that you can make up for when your running back goes down. So you don't have to take, it doesn't mean you have to take Patrick Mahomes. Although, like you said earlier, Joe, I think we like it better this year taking that number one quarterback. And it's, you know, looking at the rankings so far, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's 50 feet of crap, and then it's the next guy because Patrick Mahomes is at 19 as far as the ranking goes overall. The number two quarterback is Josh Allen at number 40. I mean, look, I love Patrick Mahomes, and I know that he is, you know, able to put up better numbers than anybody by a lot, but I think at that cost, I'm taking Josh Allen at 40 instead, you know.
100%.
I think Josh Allen can put up, you know, he could put up as many points.
Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, all these guys. But I also think it's a priority to take one of them. And I know I'm kind of on an island here, but, you know, in last year's Black Book, I wrote about this. You remember, it's like, hey, guys, the game is evolving. Like that single quarterback thing where you used to be able to wait, just get somebody who was, you know, almost as good as the guys at the top. It's not the case anymore because of the rushing yards and the rushing touchdowns and the equity there. So that weekly scoring of the quarterback position, these guys are controlling so much of their own scoring that it's really difficult not to, you know, at least go to Dak, like right. Something like that. Like at least find that kind of guy that's just going to like be, especially now that Watson is in question, because it's not that the rest of the quarterback is bad. Herbert's was terrific last year. I think Joe Burrow's going to bounce back and be great. But you know, overall, dude, let me tell you, like, it just feels like, if you don't have one of those upper tier quarterbacks, you're kind of playing from behind a little bit. And I think it's something to really consider. And Superflex is even more exasperated, I think.
Right. And this year more than any, you know, look, just, I think what happened the last week of spring training, for anyone that plays both sports, baseball and football, the last week of spring training where we saw all these guys break down, and now at the beginning of the season, they're all breaking down. I think it's more important ever, especially with COVID, to have your draft as close to the first game of the NFL season as possible. I know it's not possible for everyone. And I know a lot of people are going to be doing slow drafts, you know, because it's the best way to do some drafts. Now David Peralta's hurt, by the way, speaking of the Diamondbacks.
Well, but they're running out of guys real quick.
I know. And okay. It's going to be the AAA. We're going to look like Major League, you know, here pretty soon. Willie Mays Hayes is going to have to come in. But getting back to football, it's best to have your draft as close to the season start as humanly possible to avoid all these injuries. So, and who knows with the 17th game, what they're going to do with the preseason. Does that mean, you know, are we cutting off that fourth preseason game? Is that how it's going to work, Joe? Is the season going to start a week earlier? Or are we going to go a week later?
I think
teams doing with that game?
You know? I always feel like week later is where everything's always been pushing, because I think the NFL, and I've been saying this for a long time. We've done millions of shows together, literally millions. but I feel like the best case scenario for the NFL is to have the Super Bowl be the weekend of President's Day weekend. So everybody's off on the Monday, and it really does become like a national holiday where everybody right. can really just enjoy it. And I think that's the path they're going. And
if that's what they do, though, what are teams doing with the fourth preseason game? Is that a tune up? Is that a rest everybody before?
I think
the
you get rid
starts?
Of the fourth preseason game.
That's what I thought too. I think it's so now you only have three. So does that third game become the game where nobody plays and you only yes. have two dress rehearsals?
The third
and then
game,
you
I
skip
think becomes
that third
that.
Game.
I think what you get is you get like a series or two out of game one. You get a half out of game two. And game three, do your evaluations.
Nothing.
You get
okay.
your one series and then the evaluations, I think. Maybe.
Okay. Right.
That would make sense to me, because I think in the best interest of the NFL overall, you don't want exposure to your big players getting hurt in preseason. Because, you know, I always said this, like when you watch Hard Knocks, like I think you have a pretty good idea from the money of this flying around, who's making the team and who's not making the team. Like there's like right. maybe a dozen guys in that last week before the season starts that you really are maybe contemplating for those last few spots. And some of them end up on the practice squad anyway. So why are we creating this big drama like that last game is so important to evaluate the talent? Meanwhile, most of these guys just end up on the practice squad or somewhere else anyway. So I don't know. I think that fourth thing has always been so overrated and the people say, well, you need it to evaluate. I don't think you do need it to evaluate, man. I think what you need is to get everybody to the season healthy. especially now right. that there's an extra game. So yeah, it becomes more of a priority, and I'd love to see them get rid of the I'd love to see them start later and get rid of the fourth game. Can I have my cake and eat it too? Is that unexpected or expected?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's I don't know if it's unexpected. I think it's a smart move, so it's unexpected. So,
okay, nice.
You know, but it's not baseball, though. I mean, with baseball, you just expect the worst, right? So hope for the best, expect the worst. Let's use more cliches, Joe. This is always fun, dropping random cliches that don't make any sense into the show. But yeah, man, it's going to be different. And you know, I know a lot of people are here for it, and we're here for it. You know, like, more football is not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
It's just a different thing. It's going to be something new. It's going to be something different. All the records are going to be shattered this year. And, you know, this is going to be, I think, really 2020, just for in people's lives, is going to be the marker year, pre or post. You know what I mean? Like, before this, Joe, unfortunately, in our lives, you know, it's usually something tragic that marks the date. It was, you know, do you remember 9/11? You know what I mean? That was kind of the barometer on if you are young or older, like, where were you during 9/11? You know what I mean?
I remember that was kind of the marker. War of 1812. That's how old
do
I
you?
Am. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I had no idea you were a vampire, but
a
you know what?
Year.
I haven't seen you in the sun. So well, we've never.
And Abraham Lincoln did try to kill me. Just, you know, just saying.
what a goofy movie.
Hey, can you imagine being in the pitch room for that movie? All right. So it's Abraham Lincoln, but he's a vampire slayer, huh?
Right,
and
right.
And then somebody went, that's it. Let's do
yeah.
it.
Yeah, his thing wasn't unifying the whole country and freeing a group of, you know, individuals. It was hunting vampires. Let's yeah. make that his number one thing, you know. Yeah. Thank God for Abraham Lincoln. He freed the slaves and murdered all the vampires. So we can be vampire free here in 2021 amid a pandemic. So. That's the best. I don't know how we got here, Joe.
I don't know either, but I'm glad we did.
We get to vampire slayers from preseason and talking about.
I
want to
see you transition
stuff.
Out of it. That's what I want to see. Go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
I mean,
speaking
luckily
of,
we have. Yeah. Speaking of vampires, let's talk about. Yeah, I can't do it.
Let's talk about more tight ends.
They're rare and they don't see the light of every day.
One thing, and my rankings on Fantasy Pros are very different, and I know we're coming up on a break, but Jonnu Smith is way too low in the consensus. I'm telling you right now, they targeted Smith for a reason. He's going to be a big deal in that Patriots offense, and I don't care that Hunter Henry's there too. People are grossly overreacting to that second edition.
You know, it's going to be the worst when with him is when the Patriots trade up. Everyone thinks they're taking a quarterback and they take Kyle Pitts. And now
that's
none
great.
Of them are
oh,
worth
my
it.
God. Ever. Let's
you see
it.
Joe's eyes just light up. So, look, when we come back, we're going to end out hour one. But stick with us. We got more football to talk and baseball in hour three. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
In This League on the Sports Grid, everybody. Hope you are having a good time today. We got Joe Pizzapia here to end out hour one. We didn't talk about the draft at all, so let's just let's lightning round some draft questions, Joe. Trevor Lawrence right now, QB 25. What QB does he end up at before the season starts?
That's a really good question. You know, it's funny, I've just started doing the quarterback stuff right now. I think he can go pretty far up there. I really do. I think I would take him right as that top of QB2. You know, and and I really mean that. Like, I think right after Burrow, Matt Ryan, Stafford, like right after that grouping. Like, I know everyone's so high on Jalen Hurts. I am not as high as some other people are, but I think he is right in there. I think Carson Wentz, Cousins, that's the grouping where I start to think about Lawrence, but I think you still keep Wentz ahead of them just to wait and see, you know, how everything works, because I think Urban Meyer's a question mark.
Can the Niners actually take Mac Jones at,
no,
at three
no,
overall?
No, no, and they're not.
It's all smoke screen, right?
It's all nonsense. They're going to take Fields or Lance, and I think Lance makes sense from the way they're set up, but Fields makes more sense if they actually are serious about competing sooner again, like, and really getting back there, because if Garoppolo struggles or gets hurt again, you can go pivot back.
How about where is the top? Where does the first running back come off the board in this class?
We just did a mock there. I think it's going to be Najee Harris, and I think it could be the Dolphins with that second pick that they have there. So we actually just did a mock where they got Kyle Pitts and then took Najee Harris. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if you don't succeed, if that's what they got, and then we still had issues with Tua, then maybe it's time to look for a new quarterback.
Yeah, me. Year. I could you go play I mean? Quarterback with that. Well, they just signed Will Fuller. You've got other wide receivers, so why not hit running back? Why not hit this all world tight end and see what happens?
So many wide receivers to take too. They can wait and take a wide receiver that could end up being their number one overall. But thank you for joining me, Joe. I appreciate you filling in here. And remember, follow him on Twitter at Joe Pizzapia 17 on the Twitter machine. When can we expect the Black Book?
June 1st for NFL, my friends. Going to be a good time. Thanks for having me, Boggs. Good to
you
see
got
you.
It. I got to get on writing stuff. I start after the draft. So, I work myself into that corner and then I hammer it out. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this with John Lobb to talk some more NFL draft. We'll be right back. Take it easy.